Kia ora everyone and welcome. Thank you for being here. This conference or media conference is to allow parties that have expressed concerns about the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement and its transparency and its content to come together today for their own press conference to talk about those concerns. So I'm grateful to have senior members and also leaders of the parties here to speak about those concerns. I'm Sarah Mead, Senior Policy Advisor at Oxfam New Zealand. We're also concerned about the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. And the backbone of this press conference is set against a campaign that has been running recently. We've had 26,000 New Zealanders expressing concern about the lack of transparency of the negotiations, calling on the government to release the secret draft text before it's signed so that parliamentarians and the public can examine and debate that text. So today, we'll just run in alphabetic order, starting with co-leader Dr. Russell Norman from the Green Party, followed by Phil Twyford from Labour, Honi Harawira, leader of Mana, followed by the co-leader Te Uru Flavelle, and finally New Zealand First Deputy Leader Tracy Martin. 3 minutes each, followed by a question and answer session from the floor. I invite.
Thanks, Sarah, and thanks very much for organising this, and thank you to my parliamentary colleagues. It's great to see you here. The issue about the TPP is one of transparency. It's about making sure that the people, the citizens of all of these countries are aware of what's being negotiated. And it's also a question of what's in the text itself. On the issue of transparency, we're told by the negotiators that you can't possibly do a negotiation in public. And yet we know that the negotiating teams have shared with each other their positions on all the relevant issues. The only people who don't know the position of the New Zealand government on issues, for example, of IP, or haven't officially been told, are the people of New Zealand themselves. The other governments are aware of the New Zealand government position. It is, in fact, the people of New Zealand who don't know the position of the New Zealand government. And that, when you think about it, is a fundamental flaw in this process. The people of New Zealand have a right to know what their government is proposing. The people of New Zealand have a right to see the position papers of the New Zealand government. Then there's the question of the content. We've seen a lot about issues of Farm Act, for example, and intellectual property. But I think there's also the issue of the investor-state disputes clauses, which are fundamentally important. In terms of how this is resolved, if there's a conflict between a corporation and a government, it goes to a secretive panel of three people, which will meet in secret to if that's what the corporation making the complaint requests, and they'll make a binding decision on that government. The cost of these decisions could be in the order of hundreds of millions of dollars. Some of the other decisions that have been made by these kind of panels have cost governments hundreds of millions of dollars. If the New Zealand government were to do something that a corporation didn't like, then we could be sued in one of these kinds of panels. So it's critically important that we don't sign up to the investor-state disputes part of the TPP. And that's why the Australian federal government, the previous Australian federal government, refused to sign up to these clauses within the TPP, and we need to ensure that the New Zealand government does the same. The Greens have been outspoken about these issues for a long time. It's because we believe in democracy. It's because we believe in the right of governments, democratically elected governments, to regulate. And these kinds of agreements are undermining the ability of governments to regulate, to protect their people, and to protect the environment. And that's why we've taken a strong stand about it, and we'll continue to do so.
I want to thank It's Our Future and my parliamentary colleagues here today. Labor is pro-trade. We put great value on a fair, rules-based, multilateral trading system. And as a small nation, we know that our prosperity depends in large part on our ability to sell the goods, the services, the ideas that we generate here on global markets. And so we look to trading agreements and to trade to open those doors for us. But the TPPA is far more than a conventional trade agreement. against the promise of additional market access for our products and services, New Zealand will have to weigh up with the TPPA negotiating agendas that would like to give foreign corporations the right to sue the New Zealand government and constrain our government's ability to regulate in the public good. Those same agendas threaten, pose a risk to things that we hold dear in this country. And I'm talking about Pharmac, our ability to regulate for public health. Think of the debate around tobacco. That would seek to constrain and limit procurement policy, our ability as a country to give New Zealand firms a first crack at government contracts that all over the world is considered by governments to be an essential tool for economic development. And I also want to mention intellectual property negotiating positions that would like to extend the United States intellectual property legal framework to all the other parties in the TPPA, including New Zealand. And that poses a clear threat to innovation and the development of software-based firms in New Zealand. The government has been secretive. They have not been upfront with New Zealanders. And it's not good enough that leaked texts are the first substantive information that the New Zealand public gets to hear about these negotiations. The secrecy with which this government has negotiated the TPPA so far is undemocratic and it's divisive. I want to finish by just reading the resolution that was unanimously passed at the recent Labor Party conference, and it is that Labor withholds support from the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement on the grounds that the government has not been adequately transparent in the process. The government is taking unacceptable risks on a range of matters, including the ability of foreign corporations to sue our government and on the role of Pharmac. And we withhold our support for the TPPA until full details are made available and there's clear evidence that the agreement is in the best interests of New Zealand. Thank you.
Kia ora mai nō rā tātou katoa, tuatahi mihi atu ki o kuhua e tū kotahi ana, te waka kahoretia i tēnei kaupapa huna, tēnei kaupapa tāhai, o reira mihi atu ki a koutou ki a tātou anō, tēnā koutou ki ora tātou. Te Uruu and I have just come from the Māori Affairs Select Committee, where we've been considering a range of treaty settlement packages, all of which are publicly available to anybody who wants to come and sit in. And, you know, then goes out to the media and anybody can come and hear what's going on. The very, very scary thing about this is that none of us here knew what was in the TPPA until WikiLeaks sprang into the world. And it's just goddamn bloody embarrassing, apart from undemocratic, that we have to wait for some guy who's being chased by the United States government to let us know what's actually happening on trade agreements that affect us. So, coming back to where we are and who we are, any threat to the Treaty of Waitangi, we will oppose. The TPPA is a threat to the Treaty of Waitangi. The TPPA is a threat to the sovereignty of the New Zealand people. It's a threat to the sovereignty of the New Zealand government. In fact, this government is aiming on making decisions on the TPPA that are going to bind all future governments. And that's just unacceptable. And it's why I'm glad that there's such a strong position, common position of opposition to what's being proposed through the TPPA. We should not be allowing drug companies to tell us what we can buy and when we can buy it. We should not be allowing big tobacco to stop our government from introducing legislation which is intended for the better health of its own citizens. We should not allow this piece of, it's not even a piece of legislation, this private deal to undermine our ability to pass laws which are in the best interests of New Zealand citizens. I've heard about the importance of trade relationships, etc., etc. I don't want to go too deeply into that side of it, except to say that this is not an issue about trade. This is an issue about American control, absolutely, through their corporations of the affairs of this country. And no New Zealander, in their right mind, should be supporting it. No government should have the right to enter into any agreement that threatens the sovereignty of the people of New Zealand without the knowledge and the consent of the people of New Zealand. No government should have the right to enter into an agreement that's going to hinder the ability of future governments to negotiate trade relationships with other people. This government should be making this negotiation public and not trading away our rights and our sovereignty behind closed doors. Kia ora tātou.
Ko tātou e tautoki ngā mihi kia tātou katoa e tēnei rā, tēnā koutou, kia ora tātou katoa. Just to acknowledge my parliamentary colleagues, as the co-leader of the Māori Party, pleased to be here today to support this initiative. Like others have said, the whole notion around the loss of rangatiratanga is something that the Māori Party is very clearly concerned about. New Zealand does lose our national sovereignty, and our laws and our economy will be subject to decisions made by overseas from this agreement. Our people have fought for a very long time to regain control of our own destiny, our own culture and natural heritage rights, and we believe that the TPPA will take that away. Many of you will be aware that the Y262 claim around flora and fauna has put the issues of natural and cultural heritage and intellectual property right on the agenda for some 20 years when it was first launched by some who have now passed on. From our perspective, we want the resolution of Y262 before the TPPA undermines any progress that we have made. We do not want to see foreign corporations interfering with our ability to make laws in this country, as others have mentioned. We want to ensure that we protect our natural interests, and we have a real concern that private companies will have the same status as governments. Now, a key example of how this might happen is in the leaked documents relating to tobacco plain packaging. As you know, the Māori Party has been pretty hard on attempting to change, moving towards making Aotearoa smoke-free by 2025. Now, the problem, of course, is that big international companies are threatening legal action against any moves that may get us there. That's a real concern. Tangata whenua are, in this country, the founding partners in the development of our nation. So secrecy around the TPPA is a complete breach of treaty principles on consultation and participation. What we want to see is that the text of the document are made public to be involved in the decision-making processes. We do not agree to the government reserving what they think are Māori and treaty interests without even consulting tangata whenua. We have major concerns about how the government weighs up the economic benefits against social, cultural and environmental costs, and we believe that it is totally wrong to reveal the government only after the government has committed us to it. Kia ora tātou.
Good afternoon. Thanks very much for the invitation. New Zealand First certainly appreciates being able to once again express its view on the TPP. We're all singing from the same song sheet here. This is about our sovereignty. This is about the New Zealand people being able to understand the decisions that their government is making on their behalf. And not only their behalf, but the behalf of their children and all New Zealanders going forward. To get out of this agreement is almost impossible. Because we are such a small nation, what it would take us and what it would cost us to remove ourselves from an agreement that is not to our benefit would be beyond our means. So we need to get it right in the first instance. And with all due respect to President Obama, the fact that there is now undue haste because President Obama put a date out to the press is not good enough for the New Zealand Parliament. I was in Japan recently, and we were talking with Prime Minister Abe and also the Minister of Agriculture and the Leader of the Opposition there. They were aware of things going on inside the TPP from the Japanese perspective. The Opposition and the Minister of Agriculture there both expressed their concerns for the farmers of Japan. Now, why don't we know, and why can't we express our concerns for the Farm Acts of New Zealand, just in the same way that the Japanese government is now placing legislation through their house to protect their farmers because of what is coming in the TPP? So other nations are moving to protect their people. All New Zealand First is saying, as we have always said, as our name implies, that New Zealanders need to be first in the decision-making of their government around this issue. And if we want a sustainable solution to this, if we want a sustainable TPP where there's not constant niggling, then the other elected officials that form the full Parliament of New Zealand should be trusted to be part of that decision-making. We're all here because we said we represent the people of New Zealand and the best outcomes for them. To say, trust us, we know what we're doing, as Ruth Richardson did in the 1990s, just doesn't wash anymore. We've been betrayed before by a national government. We're not going to take trust us as a statement. We don't trust them. We want to see the we want to see the document. We want to see what they're talking about. There's no such thing as free trade. It always costs us in the end. But what will it cost us, and who will pay? Kia ora.
Thank you. So you've heard from the parties about their concerns. I now invite you to ask questions of individuals or across all parties.
Phil Byford, could you jump up there when you answer them as well? Your position is quite tricky because Labour introduced the TPP and Phil Goff supports the TPP and he doesn't believe the text will be released. What are your thoughts around that?
Well, I made it pretty clear in my comments earlier, I think, that Labour is pro-trade. I mean, we see trade as being vital to the country's economic prospects. And there's no doubt that in the TPPA negotiations, on the positive side, there's the promise, the suggested promise, of great benefits for New Zealand in terms of market access. But as with all negotiations, there is a plus side and a minus side. And on the TPPA, there are huge potential risks for things that we hold dear in this country. So Labour is concerned about those things, like Pharmac, like the threat that the IP proposals could make to a New Zealand software industry and innovation, and a raft of other provisions in the negotiations that could constrain the ability of future governments to regulate to protect the common good. So now we have to weigh up those things. And New Zealand, the New Zealand government, will finally have to make a decision about whether to support that and whether it's in New Zealand's best interests. Our concern here is that the secrecy with which the New Zealand government is conducting these negotiations totally prevents the public of New Zealand having an informed view about those trade-offs and what might be at stake. And that undermines the legitimacy of the whole shooting match. And it's and is undemocratic.
If those details aren't released, will Labour vote against it?
We will weigh up, as our position makes clear, we will weigh up the agreement and make a decision based on what we believe is in the best interests of New Zealand. But I'm telling you today that we have major concerns about some of the risks posed by the TPPA, the provisions that we know are being discussed and negotiated. They will have to be weighed up against the potential benefits for New Zealand, and that's always the case with these negotiations. But given the secrecy that's involved here, it's impossible for the public to know, let alone opposition political parties. Who would know, except when a draft text is leaked?
Do you think the public understand, I guess, the risks that you say there are around it? Does ordinary New Zealanders, the public, understand what's going on?
Well, I do actually think that ordinary New Zealanders share the general perspective that I've tried to outline to you now. People understand that as a small trading nation, our economic future is dependent on how successfully we can sell the things that we make in this country on global markets. I think New Zealanders understand that. But we also, I think people are also fearful that that they're on the downside, there are provisions in these negotiations that could pose a risk to things that we hold dear. and the New Zealand public deserves to be given the respect and taken seriously enough to have that information shared with them. And other countries, other governments, other negotiators are providing far more substantive and detailed briefings to sector groups, to interest groups, and their publics. Why can't the New Zealand government, the national government, do the same?
What other governments have been doing that?
A number of other negotiators have been talking, providing briefings. I'm not going to name names, but many of the negotiators have been far more open than our government on the progress of the negotiations.
During the negotiations of the China FTA that the Labor government got through, why wasn't that released? Why wasn't a draft text of that released?
Well, I think you'll find that when the China FTA was being negotiated, there was an extensive program of interaction and briefings with sector groups and the wider community. It was a far more transparent process. And as a result, I think the public was in a much better position to understand the kind of trade-offs that were being made and the weighing up of pros and cons. So the China FTA actually is a fantastic example, I think, of a much better way to do it. It may not be perfect, and there may be things that we can do to generally increase the level of public access and transparency in trade negotiations.
Is there consensus within the Labour caucus on this position?
I've expressed to you today the Labour position.
Phil's not here. Phil
is here. Phil couldn't make it today, he had a prior commitment, but I'm here representing the Labour Party.
Do you buy the Minister's explanations and reassurances essentially on the fact that he's not selling off New Zealand's sovereignty and Pharmac's going to be fine? And do you buy those?
Labour's view is that the government and the Minister are taking unacceptable risks, and they are not adequately briefing New Zealanders and telling them what's going on in these negotiations, and we think that is unacceptable.
Do you think that the deal...
Sarah, I feel like this should be... this opportunity should be shared with my parliamentary colleagues. This is not...
Again.
Yeah. So I'm going to give my colleagues a chance to...
You had a follow-up question. Do you want to put that to parties, or is there, are there other questions in the room?
The date that's going to be signed is this Sunday. It was the date that they've kind of been aiming for.
So just for clarification, ministers are in, up this weekend from the 7th to the 10th, and they're pushing officials to be drafting the text. So
do you guys think it will go through this weekend or in Singapore?
I mean, if it goes through this weekend, it will be a disastrous agreement, because the only way it can get through this weekend is if basically everyone gives in to the United States. So that means that we have to basically compromise dramatically on Pharmac, intellectual property, investor state, the whole lot. If this agreement goes ahead this weekend, it will be a catastrophe for those involved, because there's no other way to get it through. Because the US, basically, you have to give the US what they want to get it quickly through the Congress. So, I just think, it would be a disaster.
How likely is it that it actually will?
Look, I don't think it's particularly likely because, when we got that leaked chapter on IP, clearly there was a lot of differences, and that's just one chapter. And so one would assume that that's replicated across a number of other controversial chapters. State-owned enterprises, obviously, is another one. And so it doesn't seem likely, but, you just never know. Clearly you've got a group of people involved who are very ideologically committed to this process, and so they're willing to make very significant compromises for our national good in order to achieve their ideological goals.
I would have thought a one way of interpreting the leak was that the New Zealand negotiators actually had quite a strong idea about New Zealand not giving away too much in those negotiations. Do you think there's some reason for confidence that this government won't sign up
What we know is, I agree with some of what you're saying, definitely. So, I think when you looked at that IP chapter, it was clear there were a number of countries who were standing up against the bullying from the United States around intellectual property, and that's good. What we also know is that there is a huge ideological investment within the MFAT in New Zealand and in other current foreign affairs and trade bureaucracies in other countries to these kind of projects, and so that creates tremendous momentum to push them through. So, we don't know where that's going to end. I hope that there's a rational outcome to this and there's no agreement this weekend, but that is our concern, is that it gets pushed through.
That if a deal gets done before the next election and Labour and the Greens win next year's election, what's your plan from there? Would you plan to get rid of it, or how do you plan on looking at it?
Well, I mean, I think it creates a problem, no question. It depends in part whether the legislation will have got through the House, because parts of the deal will probably require legislation, not all of it, but some parts of it will require legislation. So it will depend in part whether that legislation has made its way through the House or not. And then we'll have to look at what the alteration provisions look like, because each of these agreements has different clauses around how you can change your commitments and what the carve-outs look like. So how you change them can have a higher or a lower cost, so we need to look at it and look at the cost of extraction from such an agreement. And we can't really do that until we see the text, but it is a problem, no question about it.
Do you think the government would try and rush it through to ensure it was in place?
I think if they do a deal in the next week, then I think that they will try to rush it through to lock it in. I mean, they talk about, the people who advocate these deals talk about the ratchet. The idea is it's a one-way ratchet. You tighten the screws on national government's parliament so that over time it's hard to turn it back. So you reduce the democratic space over the years, so there's less space for parliaments to regulate. That's the idea of the agreements. The idea of the agreements is to bind the hands of government so they cannot regulate. That's their purpose. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's how they want to do it.
Would the ideal outcome for you be that these talks just completely fall over, because they have been delayed and they seem to be moving very slowly? Could it just get to a point where...
I mean, I think it's highly likely it'll fall over. When you think about what New Zealand's likely to get out of it, I mean, there's bugger all for New Zealand in it. I mean, are we, you know, so everyone talks about agricultural access, right? I mean, are we really going to get expanded agricultural access into the US market? I mean, really. I think that's highly, highly unlikely. Australia, in the middle of being best mates during the Gulf War and all the rest of it, John Howard and George Bush, Australia got almost nothing. Out of the US-Australia FTA. And that was a bilateral between those good friends in the middle of a war. So, you know, what are they going to give New Zealand in a multi or a plurilateral negotiation where we don't have those kind of political ramifications around it? I don't think we're going to get a lot out of it. I think there'll be very little in it for New Zealand.
Do other parties wish to comment on the last question?
No, of course.
Can I ask a question? Mary Redfern and New Zealand Nurses Organisation, we've been very active in trying to raise awareness. We're not anti-trade either, Phil. We have no opinion on trade agreements, but like you, we are concerned that only 5 of the chapters are about actual trade and commodities, and the rest of it is about that sort of behind-the-border regulation. We've been assured a lot about the fundamentals of FarmAC are going to be protected, but you know, you mentioned OSPATA, you know, the Australian Free Trade Agreement. You know, they think they've protected their medical benefit schemes. They've got increased medicines prices, and the thing around PharmAC with the TPPA is that that basically it's undermining our generics mm-hmm. industry. So there's not going to be anything. My question is, and we've tried actually over 2 years, we tried to get it discussed, you know, in the health committee. We've tried a number of times to have, you know, to have public forum where this could be discussed and etc. And although we've been given private access sometimes to the negotiators, it certainly hasn't been in a public forum. And so my question was, you know, sort of like what have the parties done about, for instance, supporting the Malaysian proposal to carve out tobacco? Are all of your parties very firm on rejecting ISDS clauses like Australia? I mean, New Zealand has not stood with Australia on that. But is that your party's position? And thirdly, will you reject the patent extensions, which are going to increase the cost of medicines, but also, you know, impose new patents on things like medical techniques and therapies and things like that?
Okay, so you've got a number of questions in there. Do you support carve-outs of particular things?
Just a comment on, you know, not just about the Malaysian issue, but about some of the IP issues. I think what we're facing here is a deal that we haven't seen the preamble to. We haven't seen The other clauses are going to be added to. So rather than just worry about this one or even some of the clauses that have been suggested here, I think what everybody here is saying is we want transparency. We all want to know what the hell is going on. At that time, we can all make rational decisions as to how we're going to move forward and either supporting it like Phil wants to do over here or not supporting it like some of us might not want to do in the future. But importantly, I don't think we should get caught up in just looking at specific clauses, but maintain a common view that the TPPA is a secret that has been done, is a deal that has been done in secret without the knowledge or the consent, not only of the New Zealand people, but the New Zealand people's representatives as they are seated here at this table. And because of that, we are opposed to the TPPA in its current form. And best, I think, if we sort of focus at that higher level. If we had the whole of the document and we could see just exactly what the Malaysian thing was going to mean in terms of the final document, that's another story. Or even the draft document as it is now. But the whole document, I think, is what we need access to. And until Julian Assange comes through with a few more chapters and a bit more information, we're kind of, it's embarrassing to say, we are as unaware of what's going on at that level as you are.
I guess I was trying to say that Australia's position is against ISD clauses, and we're not the only country, there are other countries throughout the world, but that's their position, they don't sign up to that in any agreement, in any right. free trade agreement, and that's what I was trying to say.
Well, I think if there's a common position here, is that we are against our sovereignty being put under pressure by an agreement that we know nothing about. And, you know, within that comes things like the tobacco, like IP, like a whole range of other things. But our whole sovereignty is under threat with the TPPA as it is currently being negotiated. Better sit down in case not everybody agrees with that.
Can I just address that too? Sorry. So just to be really, really clear, from New Zealand First perspective, we do not believe in giving away our country's control. We do not believe just because we're small, we take crumbs. So, and again, we're all the same. We don't know the text. And you would have to say that the government has actually created this environment of suspicion because it has withheld the text from, even if it's just the opposition parties. So again, we get this sustainable conversation going on. We're all here for the benefit of the country. But with regard to signing away our sovereignty and our ability to control and protect our own people, New Zealand First won't do it.
Kia ora.
Okay, look, I'm aware that some of the representatives have to dash across the road, so thank you very much for coming. And watch this space. This weekend is going to have some trade-offs, it sounds like.